From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist. And as always, I've brought him with me. I keep bringing him with me, y'all.
Hey, he
don't seem to go nowhere.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, you stuck with me, Dr. Funderburk.
I'm stuck.
That's right. Long time ago, you signed a sheet of paper and said, I got to be with you forever.
Man, I did, didn't I?
That's right. And then let alone, I'm going to tell your baby. That's right.
You going to tell my baby? You know, my baby going to be on my side.
No. She's my baby today, y'all. Look, guys, every now and then, you got to pull your child in on you. You got to do that, fellas. If you don't, every now and then, mama forget you got the baby. There it is. It's two against one, and so we win.
Oh, my goodness. No. You're not full of a baby.
Yes, I am. Look, it's right after Valentine's Day. Man, she has all kind of love for daddy.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, I gave her that sweet little packet. So, you know, she's loving daddy right now.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes.
That's right.
Our little sweetie does love daddy, but our sweetie loves her mama, too.
So, Dr. Funderburk, you know
yes.
what? Today's topic,
yes,
man,
sir.
It's a deep topic.
It is kind of deep.
It is kind of deep. You know, we got some big words you're going to be using.
Oh, stop.
Oh, so I got to break it down for you, y'all. But look, my name for this week, Dr. Funderburk.
Yes, sir.
I want you to call me Charles.
Okay. Just regular old Charles.
Or you can call me Chuck.
Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, you know, man, I remember I was growing up.
Uh-huh.
And there was this little dude.
Yeah.
He had his own show.
Yeah.
You know, and man, he would sit in class, and it sounded like the teacher would always say, wah, 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 wah.
Yes.
You know, and then he had a real problem. He had some adversity.
He did.
He tried to kick this football, but they kept moving the football.
They
and
did.
So he never could really make the team. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, Chuck.
Uh-huh.
He had some pain, Dr. Funderburk.
He had pain, or he had something to kind of grow through, to kind of learn from, something that stretched him.
Doc, see, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I want you, when you think about today's topic and we go through the week.
Yes.
Call me Chuck.
Okay. And so I'm a say, sir, are you Chuck? Or is it something else? Okay.
That is.
Okay. So, y'all, so what he's talking about, you know, is Chuck had issues where Chuck just needed to learn how to kick the football, right?
Right. But since he couldn't.
It was stressful. It was disappointing, but it was not, you know, a loss of control.
No.
It was not this long-term thing. It was not something that brought in intrusive memories or things like that. So really what we're talking about today, the deep topic that he's introing here, and I think you did a good job of that, sir. You're Chuck. Now, I'm going to give you your props.
That is Chuck and Chuck. Call me Chuck.
He's talking about adversity versus trauma.
Right. Adversity.
Adversity versus trauma. So adversity, you know, because what we're talking about here is this little guy that we're talking about. He had adversity.
Mm-hmm.
He had adversity, right? He had something that was difficult. He had something that felt like some conflict was going on, because I think somebody did keep moving the ball.
Yeah,
on him,
I mean, because that's the thing about Chuck. See, he tried and tried and tried.
So it was disappointing, but it was still adversity. It was not trauma. So adversity, these are the things that are stressful life events. Mm. These are things that are disappointing. It might even be for, you know, if you bring it into the real world, it might even be the financial pressure, rejection from a person or a situation, conflict. That's some of what Chuck had going on, right? Conflict. Even failure.
Okay.
Because we fail at things sometimes.
Right, right, right.
Being tired or fatigue, that is adversity. So adversity will activate stress, but your nervous system can handle it. Your nervous system processes it and doesn't stay in that like heightened, like,
right.
It
right.
doesn't stay in that all along, forever. It might hurt you. It might stretch you, and it may grow you. It hopefully will grow you, but that's not trauma. And I think one of the things that I'm so glad, let's back up for a second. I'm really, really glad, because I think the whole reason that we even need to have this conversation is because mental health has started to take more of a front seat.
You know, and it really has. Mm-hmm. In recent years, especially after COVID, man, we were so, I mean, I was in the house. It seems like, you know, we weren't, I'm not socializing. And Dr. Funderburg, look, yes. mm-hmm. you know, I need people.
He does need people, y'all. I'm the introvert. You know, I extrovert just because I'm on the show, but I'm naturally an introvert. My husband, on the other hand.
There you go. There you go.
He is a natural extrovert. And so that is something, when he is stuck inside, that is something that is adversity after a while for him.
Even now, years later, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of us, and the majority of my time, I work from home. Mm-hmm. And so it's stressful for mm-hmm. me. And so today's topic, I know we didn't mention it earlier, but today's topic is strength after stress.
Yes.
You know, strength after stress. So in other words, you know, it didn't kill me. It made me stronger.
It had you've had to learn how to be, you know, not around a crowd of people and be okay with that.
Exactly.
Whereas
exactly.
I think I have thrived.
there you go, right there. But you know, Dr. Funderburg, you know, often mental health awareness is really mm-hmm. a gift.
It is.
Because with awareness. But without awareness, mm-hmm. accuracy can really create confusion for anybody.
Right. Awareness without accuracy can create that confusion that you're talking about.
Right. And so
that's why we're trying to be careful here and slow walk this with y'all.
Yeah. Because, see, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure as you address your own mental health. Mm-hmm. And again, it's extremely important. You know, I was telling Dr. Funderburg earlier this week. You know, just like you have your annual checkup, you know, your physical checkup, you go see your traditional primary care doctor.
Look, I hope y'all are having your annual checkups with your primary care doctors. If y'all don't have a primary care, you need to get a primary care.
Wow. Okay, there she go already. She's giving us some nuggets already. But, you know, in addition to that, you really need to take some time and have a mental health checkup.
The checkup from the neck up.
Hey, that's right. And so it's so important. And so, again, as you see someone, again, we're not necessarily, you know, saying that, quote, you're crazy. Uh-oh, Dr. Funderburg, you don't like that word.
Yes, he knows. I cannot stand that word because it's such a misnomer. It's such, you know, that's not at all what we're talking about.
Right. You mm-hmm. know, and that's what it's all. Stress in life can, you know, make you feel, you know, can have all kind of physical reactions and that kind of thing in your body. You can have stomach ache, leg pains, or, you know, headaches. Mm-hmm. But it's just so important that you just take some time. Maybe, again, you got access, a lot of us, through EAP. You know, there are a lot of resources.
What's EAP?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Funderburg. Mm-hmm. I got to break that down. Mm-hmm. The Employee Assistance Program. Mm-hmm. A lot of organizations, your job, is something that they have is offered where you might be able to get 3-5 sessions or more at no charge.
3-5 therapy sessions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so that's that whole checkup. Just, you know, just every now and then you want to sit on the couch.
So it's a part of your benefits.
Part of your medical health benefits.
So check your benefits, y'all. You might have access to some, for you, it would be free mental health sessions, free therapy sessions, a couple of sessions. And that would allow you to get your toes wet in it, dip your toe in the pool, so to speak. And you can start to recognize that, oh, okay, this doesn't mean I'm crazy. We're just kind of talking here.
That is. That's what it's all about. So, Dr. Funderburg, so we were talking a little bit about adversity.
So let me say something else too, real quick, before we jump into that. I want to make sure that we are putting it out in the forefront. We are talking about the difference between adversity and trauma. We are not minimizing the pain of trauma, because trauma is real. What we're trying to do is clarify the difference between adversity and trauma. Since mental health has become so much more out in the forefront, it has taken a little bit of a front seat in conversations. There are certain buzzwords that have gotten out there that I think pop culture has taken from the mental health community, and they're thrown around, and sometimes people are using them correctly and sometimes they're not. So everything that's difficult that happens is not always trauma. Everything is not always a trigger. Everybody is not always a narcissist. Everything is not always gaslighting. So these are some of the things that have been thrown around out there since mental health has become a lot more popular. And again, I'm glad to even have to have this conversation, because it means that people are paying attention to mental health. I just want to, as the professional in this area, I want to clarify some things so that we can move forward correctly, and people who have experienced trauma, they need healing. People who have experienced adversity have to recognize where the growth opportunities are. They are both two very real things. So I am not minimizing trauma.
Right, right. So let me ask you this question then.
Yes, sir.
You, in simple layperson terms.
Yes, sir.
So we're talking about two different words. We're talking about adversity and we're talking about trauma.
Yes.
And so I want to make sure I'm understanding again. Is adversity a lesser of trauma, or from a mental health perspective? In other words, if I'm experiencing trauma, are you saying that's the more, like, is it a heavier load?
Absolutely.
Over adversity?
Absolutely. So adversity, that's those stressful life events. That's the disappointment. That's even the financial pressure. And financial pressure can get heavy, y'all. I recognize that. Rejection, conflict, fatigue, failure, those are things that we can grow through. They can be very stressful. And like I said earlier, though, our nervous system can process these things. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. You grow through adversity. Trauma is overwhelming threat, whether that's real or perceived. So what I mean by that is, you know, there can be a real threat that comes at me. For example, you know, walking down the street, car almost hits me. That is a real threat. Perceived threat is in a building watching that person walk down the street, almost get hit by the car. That still could be real threat. Let me think of another example here. Mm-hmm. Perceived threat is I think I'm locked in a building.
Right, right.
I think I can't get out of the elevator, let's say, but really I just pushed the wrong button.
Yeah,
my mind perceived that there was a threat there, but it wasn't actually a threat. Either one of those can be overwhelming and can be true trauma. There's a loss of control. There's nervous system dysregulation. So let's go ahead and jump into that.
Dysregulation, Doc. Come on now.
Yes, yes. So the goal is to be regulated within our nervous system, meaning, you know, our breath is under control. Like, we're not breathing those short, shallow breaths. We're doing deep, you know, we're taking some of those deep cleansing breaths. Our heart rate is lowered. You know, blood pressure is where it needs to be, in that healthy range. That means your nervous system is handling things the way it needs to be handling things. Now, that's a regulated nervous system. When your nervous system is dysregulated, that's where you can look at someone and you can see, oh, okay, they're breathing these little short, shallow breaths, or they're maybe not even breathing for a few seconds at a time, you know, longer than a person would take a pause in breathing. Their heart rate is up. Their blood pressure, if you took their blood pressure in the moment, it's up. Sometimes people can feel when their blood pressure goes up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Adrenaline can even start to pump, and it's like, but you're just sitting in a seat. So it's like, why is adrenaline pumping if you're just sitting in the seat, you know, maybe trying to study, or maybe trying to, you're sitting at your computer trying to work, but you feel like, oh, okay. You know, that's that you're dysregulated. So trauma causes that dysregulation. If you think about, you're in that, go back to my example. If you think about when you're walking down the street and if a car tries to hit you, what would all those things do? You're going to breathe faster because you need to take a big gulp of air to say, ha. And then your heart starts pumping really fast because, okay, it needs to do something. It needs to get your body to do something to get out of the way of that car. So you need some extra blood flow to run.
Okay.
Right? So same thing. If that stuff is happening, and it's okay if it happens in the moment where that car is coming at you because you do need to get out of the way.
Right, right.
But when that stuff continues to happen and you're not, it's the next day, it's the next week, it's the next month, it's the next 6 months, and you're still in that, you're dysregulated. That kind of lets you know there was some trauma there. Also, trauma has some of that long-term change in your stress response. So what that means is you might become hypervigilant. Somebody closes a door and you jump thinking, what was that? Oh my goodness.
Right, right.
The intrusive memories, that's what we call sometimes the flashbacks. You'll hear people mention that as the flashbacks. Or you avoid, going back to my example, you avoid walking down the street again because mm-hmm. the last time you walked down the street, you almost got hit by the car. So that's some of what comes up with true trauma.
So, you know, it's so interesting, though, because as you mentioned earlier, our society, you know, because mental health and mental wellness has become more common, mm-hmm. we have a tendency now to just use that label of trauma. Just like, you know, every experience is I'm traumatized or I have trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just are just intentionally, you know, trying to train our nervous system to sometimes even avoid growth. And so, so sometimes, in other words, that adversity will really strengthen, you know, stress, you know, can make you stronger.
And
so it goes back to, here's the key word, Dr. Funderburk, language matters.
Language matters.
So how you label this experience, how you define it,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's important, because when you think about it, you know, as we work with our own child now, you know, we're helping her establish language.
She's establishing language, and you know, because I'm a psychotherapy clinician, psychologist. That's why I'm going to with her. I'm giving her not just everyday language. I'm also helping her with an emotional vocabulary.
That's the key with her. And see, sometimes what we have a tendency to do is label it as trauma. And again, trauma is something, once you begin to understand the key to this thing, y'all, your body and your mind reacts. What do you think, Doc? Am I getting close to it?
You're getting close, Chuck.
Uh-oh, there it is.
You're getting close, Chuck.
So I'm
really glad you said the part about language matters, because when we label every uncomfortable experience as trauma, we start to unintentionally train our brain and train our nervous system to avoid growth, because adversity, when you work through adversity, you grow.
Mm.
And that's a part of the human experience. We need growth. We don't want to be stagnant, right? We want to be our best selves. And as the saying goes, live your best life, right?
Wow.
you can't live your best life if you don't grow through some of the things that feel uncomfortable. Just because you are uncomfortable, it doesn't mean it's trauma.
Wow. You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. And of course, when I say Keith, you really got Chuck. So Dr. Funderburg, let me make sure.
Yes.
If I'm experiencing trauma,
mm-hmm.
are there, and you were kind of going through some of that earlier,
mm-hmm.
some of those physical sensations or signs and symptoms
mm-hmm.
of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So once I'm seeing this in my mind or I'm experiencing it in my body,
mm-hmm.
what do I even do? I mean, what's my next step?
So adversity needs growth. Trauma deserves healing. So if there is a traumatic experience, if there's an experience where there was overwhelming threat, where you felt like you weren't in control, your nervous system has been completely dysregulated, like we were talking about earlier, you have the long-term stress response, you have intrusive memories, you're avoiding situations that are like that thing that happened, that's the thing that deserves healing. So when in the clinical world, I believe it is if you go more than I should have pulled out my DSM, but I think it's if it's more than 3 weeks past the incident with those things still happening, it might be 2 weeks past the incident and you are still feeling that overwhelming threat, you're feeling the loss of control, you feel dysregulated, like remember the way I was talking about your breathing and your heart rate and all of that, the intrusive memories are there, the flashbacks are there. If you're feeling that longer than 2 weeks after it, whatever it was, happened, that's where you say, okay, I might need some assistance here. This might have been a traumatic experience and I might be experiencing some post-traumatic stress. And that's where you want to connect with a professional. You can come straight to a clinician, or there are other great psychotherapists out there in the community as well. That's where you might want to look at those benefits, look at those EAP benefits that we mentioned earlier, some of you may have, or just go straight there and go to have some therapy.
Right.
Because you can work through this post-traumatic stress. It doesn't have to stay with you. But a lot of times when we feel the impact of trauma, we can feel like, oh my gosh, am I going crazy?
Oh, that C word. That's right.
That C word. We feel like, oh my goodness, am I going crazy? And then it is compounded when other people look at you and they're like, girl, you need to let that go.
Right.
Or
right.
you should have gotten over that by now. That,
No. You know, sometimes, you know, people around you and they have the best intentions.
Yeah.
But as we mentioned earlier, language matters.
Language matters, because going back to adversity, adversity, those are the uncomfortable, they're just uncomfortable experiences. They don't create those stress responses that show up and then, you know, never go away.
Right.
Adversity will, the stress responses may be there for a little bit, but they're going to go away after a bit. We don't want to label everything as trauma, because then your brain starts to equate danger with growth.
Right, right.
And that's wrong. That's not what we want. Trauma is trauma, and trauma needs healing. Trauma, it's like, you know, it's like, when do you decide to go to the physician or the emergency department? You will go when you recognize this is something that I've tried to handle and I can't handle it. If you have the sniffles too long, you say, ugh, and I've taken the over-the-counter medicine and it's still there. That's when you say, oh, I need to make an appointment.
But you know what, Dr. Funderburg, mm-hmm. you know, before we end, I wanted to make this comment because a lot of us may have started therapy.
Yeah.
May have started. In other words, you might have been in 2, 3, 4 sessions and you're thinking, okay, I should be fixed by now. I should be, you know, living the life.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, going to therapy or going to a psychotherapist, you know, it may be a social worker, a licensed clinical social worker, a psychologist, mm-hmm. or a licensed, a mental health clinician. It's not like going to the medical doctor where they give you, you know, some type of medication.
That's right.
You know, in a week, you know, you're going to be well.
Yeah.
And it's just so important as individuals. Sometimes you may have been experiencing that particular trauma that happened when you were a child.
Absolutely.
And so it's, you've been living through this trauma for years.
Yes.
And so being healed from that trauma experience is not going to be done in 3 60-minute sessions. Sometimes it takes time.
It takes time. It takes time.
And so, Dr. Funderburg, you know, one of the things, you know, we want to encourage everyone, if you're experiencing trauma or adversity in life, mm-hmm. and sometimes when it's happening, it's real time, mm-hmm. and man, that you're breathing really rapidly, you know, you have some really funky thoughts, we want to encourage you, call 988.
That's right.
It's your mental health 911.
Yes.
Make sure you do that, y'all. Secondly, if you also, again, you end that mental health, then that trauma experience, mm-hmm. you might need to go to the mental health, you know, hospital. There's behavioral health hospitals locally, especially here in the Guilford County area. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need to, you might have to get to the emergency room or the behavioral health hospital. Dr. Funderburg closes out.
There's so many things I didn't get to. Oh, my goodness. I hope this has been a helpful topic for you all. One of the things that I just want to reiterate, trauma requires healing. Adversity requires courage. Okay? Trauma requires healing. Adversity requires courage. And you want to take away these three A's here. Assessment, alignment, action. Assessment, alignment, action. You want to assess, is this adversity or trauma? That's the assessment. Let's align. What does my nervous system need? Do I need to sit down and breathe for a second? Or do I need to maybe talk some of this through with a psychotherapist? And then action. Do I need healing or am I building up my resistance so that if this happens again, I'm good? Y'all, Keith is telling me, or excuse me, Chuck is telling me I need to go. So if you have comments or questions, make sure you message us at WNAAFM@ncat.edu. And join us again next time on How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Living with the Funderburgs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Living with the Funderburgs on 90.1 FM WNAA.